Welcome to worship in West Valley Presbyterian Church. This week we will be leaving to go to Oxford, where my daughter Julie is in school. Please pray for us that the trip goes well. We're looking forward to being with her and learning a little bit more about the UK and her educational program there. Today you'll be hearing from Mike Clark on the discipline of service and how important service is in our Christian life. It makes what we talk about tangible for others. It helps others understand the gospel in ways that are very practical and real. The following Sunday will be a service worship Sunday where you can put into practice all the things that Mike is talking about. So listen as he brings you the message this morning. Enjoy and also think about how you can practically apply what he's talking about. Welcome to worship.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for showering us with your love by everything you have created for us, provided for us, and shown to us. Your power and strength are amazing, Lord, and we are so grateful that we can have a relationship with you. Thank you, Father, for this church on the corner and for all the ministries here that glorify you and that are meant to bring people closer to you. Thank you for the staff here at West Valley who work so hard to make these ministries and programs happen, for their tireless efforts and for their energy and their love for you. Thank you that Pastor Kim can go on sabbatical and that all these programs and ministries keep going. Thank you also for all the blessings that you bestow on us, Lord. The rain, the sunshine, our homes, our jobs, our families and friends, and our freedom to worship and to praise you. Thank you for the gift of music and for the fact that we can worship you through song. We know that we are not always obedient children, Lord, and we ask for your forgiveness for our transgressions. Help us to be more loving and patient. Help us to forgive those who have wronged us. Remind us to stop and lend a helping hand. We want to be more like Jesus, Lord, and we need your help and your encouragement and your support to remind us how. Father, we have some special requests to lift up to you today. We ask for an extra dose of strength, perseverance, and healing for our dear friends, Grace Johns, Don Eldridge, Carol McCune, Roger Pro, Don and Pat Strandberg. For Rich and Donna Holsker, we ask for wisdom and discernment in figuring out the next steps for Carol. For everyone here who is struggling with illness or injury or upcoming surgery, I ask for your healing hand to touch them and to make their bodies whole. Heal broken and strained relationships. Find jobs for the unemployed. Be with those who have recently lost loved ones and comfort them in the knowledge that their beloved are now pain-free and with you. Father, bless our service worship Sunday next week as we go out into the community to share your love in very tangible ways. May we be a great source of light to the people we minister to, and may we all come to know you in new and deeper ways. Bless Pastor Kim during her time away. Protect her during her upcoming travels. Now I ask that you bless our tithes and offerings, Lord, and use them to strengthen your kingdom wherever you see fit. Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Hear the word of the Lord from the letter of from Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 4 to 10. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Good morning. My name is Mike Clark. It's my privilege to present the morning message. Let's open with a word of prayer. May the Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Right. Well, the Sunday morning messages for the month of January have focused on Richard Foster's influential book called The Celebration of Discipline, The Path to Spiritual Growth. The book discusses 12 spiritual disciplines, or 12 spiritual practices that help us grow in our faith. The January sermon series has just focused on a few of those topics. Todd Misspelt spoke once on prayer and once on discerning God's will. The Reverend Dick Spencer spoke on Christian learning. This week we'll talk about the spiritual discipline of service. And I commend Richard Foster's book to you on the celebration of discipline. It's considered one of the best books on spiritual growth in the last 50 years. Another book that I recommend is 40 Days of Purpose by Rick Warren. Our congregation did a study of that book a number of years ago, but it remains, in my mind, one of the best discussions of the daily discipline of walking with Jesus. Now, in terms of the discipline of service, I think I drew the easy task, and that's because our congregation is filled with people who value service. Many of my role models over the years have been people here within this congregation who exemplify what it means to serve others. So my goal this morning will be to remind us briefly from a biblical perspective why service is important, and to offer some thoughts that may help us discern and solidify our commitment to service, both individually as well as a congregation for this coming year. So let's start with foundational principles. Todd read our verse for this morning from Ephesians. So the first foundational principle that we find in Scripture is that every person is created to do good works. Ephesians 2:10 tells us we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Now, we could spend all morning focusing on this verse alone due to its richness. But in summary, each of us here and every human being was created by God and specially handcrafted by God and designed with a purpose. And that part of that purpose is to do good things which bring blessings to others. Contrary to what some may suggest within society, we are not born as accidents of nature. We are not evolutionary quirks. We did not stumble into this world by chance. Instead, God put each of us here for a purpose. Part of that purpose is to do acts of service, to be engaged in ministries of service to others. In fact, if we are not engaged in the regular practice of serving others, then it is very likely that we are not experiencing the amazing joy that comes from following Jesus. I know that in my own life I can be reading the Bible every day, I'm praying every day, I'm worshiping regularly, but if I am not actively involved in service to others, then that element of joy is often missing from my life. The famous Lutheran theologian and Nobel Peace Prize winner Albert Schweitzer once wrote, "The only really happy people are those who have learned to serve." The second foundational principle we find in Scripture as followers of Jesus is that we are called to serve like Jesus served. Jesus told his disciples that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And in the Gospel of John, we read that on the night before Jesus was betrayed, Jesus sat down with the disciples and he washed their feet. He then told them, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done for you." So just as Jesus served others, he calls us to do the same. The apostle, the famous letter from the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi, in that letter, Paul elaborates on this attribute of Jesus and what scholars call the kenosis him. But in that passage, we read the following: "Do not merely look out for your own interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, and taking the form of a bond servant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." So we are instructed to imitate the life of Jesus in terms of his sacrificial service to others. The third foundational principle we find in Scripture is that everyone has something special to offer. Each of us has been entrusted with special gifts and abilities designed to help others and to build up the body of Christ. Many are familiar with the famous passage on gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where we are told that now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. That chapter goes on and lists several gifts that the Spirit gives for acts of service. Most Bible scholars would tell us that that list is instructive but not exhaustive. And that's because we see a great many other gifts displayed elsewhere in Scripture. So one of the lists I put together over the years, which again is not exclusive, but I think captures many of the gifts, would include wisdom. And we see that gift demonstrated within individuals within our congregation. Knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, administration, teaching, leadership, service, music, art, dance, drama, craftsmanship, building, hospitality, cooking, scholarship, sewing, gardening, inventing, protecting others, writing, designing, finance, justice, statesmanship, and prayer. What I find interesting is that God often blends gifts or blends features of gifts, like a painter blends primary colors, in order to achieve different shades or features of gifts so that everyone serves and contributes in a unique way. Now, sometimes our spiritual gifts line up with our natural talents and abilities, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes God picks areas of weakness in our life in which to display his gifts. We often do not discover or begin to exercise our gifts until we experiment with and try out various forms of service or put ourselves into positions to serve so that we can discover what we might have to offer others. In terms of my own experience, I think at this stage in life, my primary ministry, at least here at West Valley, has focused on teaching adults about the Bible and Christian faith. But my primary current service emerged after over 30 years of volunteer youth ministry here at West Valley and elsewhere. And my passion for youth ministry only emerged after being invited at the age of 17 to attend the very first summer youth mission trip our church ever sponsored, back in 1972, when the Reverend Jerm Nelson took a group of us to Tracy, California. And we spent 2 weeks doing work projects for a deeply impoverished neighborhood and conducted a vacation Bible school program for kids. And at the end of that mission, I suddenly realized, wow, I really enjoy working with kids. And so from that point forward, I actively pursued opportunities to minister to children and youth. Now, in recent years, that same passion has shifted more towards adults. And I think part of that is because youth ministry would now require me to work with the kids of the kids of the kids I initially worked with. That's what happens when we get older. But in my experience and experiences I've observed in others suggests that the ministries and forms of service to which we are called will evolve and transition over the years. So it is clear from a biblical perspective that each of us is called and each of us is equipped to contribute to the church and to the world by way of service. So now how does this play out in our everyday lives? I'd like to offer four observations to help us clarify and or confirm our individual calls to service. So the first observation is that we serve with gratitude. This means that we serve with joy and gratitude because God's love has touched us and blessed us and transformed us. In the letter 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, we read these treasured words. We love because God first loved us. For those who place their trust in Jesus, there comes a moment when we understand that God exists, that God loves us, that God desires to walk in personal relationship with us. We understand that God became human in Jesus and died for our wrongdoings and that Jesus knocks on the door of our heart. When we open that door and invite Jesus in, Scripture tells us that a number of things happen. We are freed from the shackles of sin. We are saved from eternal judgment. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. We embark on a lifetime journey of walking daily with Jesus. And we are given gifts designed to build up the church and to bless the community. And as we begin to grasp God's great love for us, we respond naturally with gratitude by sharing that same love with others through acts of ministry and service. And as we grow in our faith, the Holy Spirit often inspires us to serve in areas of greater and greater need. So our service to others flows naturally from a grateful heart. Or as the song we sung earlier proclaims, we have 10,000 reasons to sing and to serve. Second observation is that we each serve in different ways. Throughout your life, God will likely call you to serve in different spheres at different times. Sometimes we are called to serve locally, and sometimes we are called to serve and give internationally. Sometimes we are called to serve regionally, and sometimes we are called to serve on a national level. And depending on our season in life, there are times when we are called to devote the majority of our time to our children or our grandchildren, or to sick and aging parents or grandparents, while at other times we're called to focus our attention on those outside of our family or circle of friends. And through all seasons of life, we are always called to serve in tangible ways within the life of the particular congregation in which we worship. Third observation, sometimes we pick our service and sometimes our service picks us. At different times in life and during different seasons in life, we sometimes find ourselves presented with a number of opportunities to serve from which we can choose. And sometimes the need for service is thrust upon us. Sometimes we have the luxury of choosing among various options. And sometimes we are pressed into service due to emergencies or compelling circumstances. A family member or friend is injured or diagnosed with a serious illness, and suddenly we believe we must drop everything to help them. Sometimes an event may occur within the life of the church or community that demands our immediate involvement and help. Rick Warren, in his book 40 Days of Purpose, observes that you will be most effective when you use your spiritual gifts and abilities in the area of your heart's desire, and in a way that expresses your personality and your experiences. On the other hand, he further observes, while you may not be gifted for a particular task,
You may be called to do it if no one gifted at it is around to do it. So sometimes we choose and sometimes the choice is made for us. And fourth, we are called to serve the poor and the needy. Whatever our calling, whatever our ministry, it will always involve some form of outreach to the poor and the needy. And that's because in Jesus we find fulfilled all of the Old Testament commands to show compassion and to seek social justice. For our congregation here at the corner of Miller and Bollinger, there are many wonderful opportunities to serve. And time obviously does not permit me to list all of those opportunities. Two of the most highly visible avenues for service in recent years have been our service worship Sunday, as well as our Rancho Santa Marta mission trip. Next Sunday, we'll participate in service worship, which means we'll gather here briefly for prayer and singing, and then go out into the community to serve in various ways. And as Bob mentioned earlier in the bulletin today, you have listed a number of the opportunities to serve next Sunday. Part of the service worship experience, though, involves sending a team to feed the homeless the night before at the refuge in Sunnyvale. In 3 weeks, our congregation will send a team of about 40 young people and adults to Baja, Mexico, to do service projects at an orphanage called Rancho Santa Marta. Again, in your bulletin today, you have a list of teacher gift bags of love. And that's because this year, in addition to the work projects that we'll do, we wanted to be a special blessing to the teachers who labor so hard down at Rancho Santa Marta. So in the bulletin is a list of things you can bring next week, small little items that we want to put into gift bags for the teachers. As I mentioned at the outset, we are a congregation comprised of many people who are committed to serving. My hope in sharing these thoughts is to inspire us individually and as a congregation, not only to continue to serve, but to identify new ways in which we can serve as we go through this new year. John Wesley, the great Methodist minister and reformer of the church in the 1700s, often told his congregation and encouraged his congregation with the following words: "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, for as long as you can." It's a great quote to have on our mirror or on our desk in the morning. And Richard Foster, in his chapter on service in the book Celebration of Discipline, concludes by challenging us to pray the following prayer in the morning and to ask, "Lord Jesus, as it would please you, bring me someone today whom I can serve." We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Let us pray. Lord God, you have designed us. You have created us to do good works. Help us to pursue our calling. Bring to us those whom you would have us serve, to the glory of Jesus and for the furtherance of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us now bow for the benediction. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide on each of us this day and forevermore. Amen.